Good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. It's 9:07 and it's Thursday morning. Beautiful day out there already and going to be a great day here in the Midwest. And we've got some great guests here on the show today. A little later on, we'll hear from General Perry Wiggins, Executive Director of the Governor's Military Council. But we're going to start off with National Bio and Agri Defense Facility. And we've got our regular guests here, Dr. Ken Burton, NBAF Coordinator. Good morning, Dr. Burton.
Good morning, Brandon. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. Katie Pulaski also joins us here, NBAF Communications Director. Welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having us, Brandon.
You bet. And our special guest this morning will be Dr. Chad Austin, Biorisk Management Training Program Coordinator at NBAF. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, certainly a pleasure. We're talking here just before the show. We're kind of enjoying the movie discussion and the weather as well. And I tell you what, I don't know about you, Katie, but I can't wait to get back to going to movie theaters.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It is a different experience and a fun one. We did get to, you can rent out one of the local movie, a theater right now. And so we did get to go, our family got to go sit in one with, you know, hardly any people at all and see a movie. And it was a fun experience. But yeah, that's been like once over the entire last year.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, I think there's a lot of optimism out there right now among people. We're seeing more vaccines coming in and people are looking forward to going back to events and stuff. And it's when you have something taken away from you for so long, you kind of get cooped up. You're tired of being inside.
Yeah, I think I can probably speak for Dr. Burton and myself to say that we're really looking forward to being able to give presentations in person again, rather than just over Zoom.
Yeah.
It really is. It's very different, and we miss that a lot.
I'm sure. Absolutely. Well, it's always a great opportunity for us to learn a little bit more about some of the inner workings out at NBAF. And we do this each month here, the first Thursday of the month. Usually have different guests who come in here. So we'll bring on Dr. Chad Austin first off. Again, he's the Biorisk Management Training Program Coordinator at NBAF. So real quickly, first off, Dr. Austin, are you here, located here in Manhattan?
You can call me Chad, but yeah, I am located here in Manhattan.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, Chad, tell us more about your role at NBAF.
Sure. So you gave my title. It's kind of a mouthful, and I understand it's not really not a job title you see around a lot. So I've developed something of a 2-second elevator pitch to explain what a Biorisk Management Training Program Coordinator does. And so the first word in there, Biorisk, first two words is Biorisk Management, and I kind of want to spend a quick second explaining that. Biorisk management is it's a discipline that prevents accidental and intentional misuse or release of infectious material from a research facility. So we help make sure that people are safe when they're working with or around biohazards. And in a nutshell, my elevator pitch here is that it's my job to make sure that anyone working with an infectious substance or in the general vicinity of one at NBAF has got the knowledge and the skills to do their work safely. And that doesn't mean that I'm a little micromanager hovering around everybody, you know, making sure they do everything right. I'm more of a resource that's available. What am I trying to say? That people can come to me if they have questions and I can help make sure that programs are in place that they've got the, like I said, the skills and knowledge that they need to get that work done and do it safely.
All right. Well, it's an interesting position. Obviously, you got a lot of inner workings there that you got to take care of. How did you become interested in this type of work?
That's a great question. My background is really as a scientist. I didn't really get into the education side of it until later on, and the training side of it until later on. But I've always been fascinated by science. I have a couple of degrees in science. I got an undergraduate degree in biochemistry, and I just became absolutely fascinated with it and thought maybe I should go be a researcher. And so then I applied to graduate school I wound up becoming a graduate student in the Department of Microbiology at the University of Colorado. And while I was there, my lab and my research wound up working on a fairly high consequence bacterial pathogen. It's not native here, and some people probably aren't familiar with the disease, but it is found, the disease is found in northern Australia and northeast Thailand. And in those places, you can find it in contaminated soil and water. And the disease it causes is kind of got a range of symptoms, but generally speaking, high fever and sometimes seizures. And because of the severity of that disease, it's considered very dangerous. And so we worked with it in high containment. We worked with it in biosafety level 3. And that was really my first introduction to high containment research. As interesting as research is, I thought, well, I don't really want to run my own lab. So I started to look around for other opportunities. And I had been encouraged to look into something called the National Biosafety and Biocontainment Training Program. And that's at the National Institutes of Health over in Bethesda, Maryland. I don't know if you're all familiar with that. Sometimes it's called the NIH. And that program is built and works to connect researchers like I was at the time with the world leaders in many different aspects of laboratory safety. So you learn all about biosafety, you learn all about biocontainment, you learn all about the various biosafety levels, biosafety level 3, biosafety level 4, and sometimes if you work with animals at high containment, it would be ABSL3 or ABSL4. And so I learned about how these laboratories are designed and built. I learned how they're constructed. I learned how people work safely in them. And I got a really solid education in the high and max containment world. And so I know I'm kind of getting long in the tooth here, but I have a few more steps before I get to MMAF. So bear with me. And after I finished the fellowship, it's just relatively short fellowship, about 2 years. And I was able to find work at the University of Texas Health Science Center in Houston. And they have a short name because they were also pointing out that their name is relatively long, and that's UT Health. I was down at UT Health for about 4 years. They are located in the Texas Medical Center. It's the largest medical center in the world. And while I was there, I got to work as a part of a team of really great people helping researchers, medical practitioners, medical students, graduate students, and our guests on campus and in our clinics be safe from infectious substances while they were there. So I was able to apply a lot of what I learned and learn also a lot about human health, but it's more about like research and applied research in human health. In the time since I was a graduate student, as a postdoc and as a safety specialist down at UT Health, I've been very active with an organization, what I call my professional society. That's the American Biological Safety Association, or ABSA International. And I help develop training and deliver training to folks in our field, help get them kind of schooled up on some of the basic topics and critical stuff. So I have kind of a very, very interesting background, science and education and application and all this other stuff. And when the opportunity to work at MBAF opened up, I just jumped on it. I couldn't say no, really. It's really the first facility of its kind in the world, and a really wonderful opportunity for me to make use of all these resources that have been given to me, the education, the training, and my experience. So I can become a part of this team. I can help this team, really made up of truly exceptional people, to make the world a safer place from infectious diseases. So that's my short biography. Hopefully, not too convoluted. But yeah.
No, not at all. I it's interesting. This kind of work is always fascinating because it takes a certain kind of person to do this kind of work. And a lot of us don't have the stomach for some of the things you might see behind the scenes. What's the grossest thing you've ever seen?
Oh gosh, the grossest thing I've ever seen. That is a good question.
I'm putting you on the spot there, sorry.
You are putting me on the spot. The grossest thing I've ever seen is probably a load of autoclave waste that came out of one of my autoclaves as a graduate student. And we didn't do animal work in my specific little lab. We had a collaborator who we did a lot of, who we did some animal work with. But at the autoclave coming out of there, it was just filled with, not filled, but, you know, the load was full of bacterial media. And when you cook it, it liquefies, and then when you cool it, it re-solidifies, and it kind of gives off this smell. And that was probably one of the grosser things that I've had to deal with, just a really, really messy autoclave load. I do anticipate with large animal research that the stakes are going to be a little higher for messes. So I'm anticipating it's going to get a little more colorful once we become operational.
All right.
Here.
Thank you for that insight.
No problem.
You mentioned you worked in Houston, and obviously a much different size coming from Houston to Manhattan. What's the difference, and what do you like about being here versus being there?
Well, I got to tell you that I think probably the first thing that comes to mind is I like the traffic in Manhattan. The traffic in Houston is a beast unto itself. You really got to see it and experience it to believe it. It's something I do not miss. And so I'm very, very happy that I'm in Manhattan with a closer community, you know, more tighter knit and a smaller community. But I did move here late in the year 2019. So I was only here a couple months before COVID came to the United States and caused us to start teleworking. I had hoped to socialize and meet people, make friends. Didn't really have a great opportunity to do that yet. And I'm looking forward to doing it once it's safe to do so. But I love the setting. I love the rolling hills. So before I lived in Houston, I lived up in Denver, and the mountains are just absolutely gorgeous, and I really missed them when I moved away. And I know we don't have the Rockies here, but I think the Flint Hills are absolutely gorgeous in their own right, and the lakes and rivers are wonderful too. I enjoy getting out to go run on the trails. Sometimes I'll take my dog, but there's also opportunity to get engaged in the community too. So the Manhattan Area Technical College has got their critical environment technologies program. They need input from business and industry leadership. So I'm a member of the business and industry leadership team at Manhattan Area Technical College. And I look forward to contributing to that program and finding other ways to get engaged with the community and contribute. You know, I enjoy doing that.
Very good. I got to take a time out here real quick, but we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Chad Austin, as well as Dr. Ken Burton and Katie Pulaski when we return. In Focus continues after this on News Radio KMAN.